Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be with you here tonight on Tuesday. And we've got a lot to talk about. Lots to get into tonight. Lots of big news about immigration. I do apologize. I'm a little bit later than I like to be, but I'm just having one of these days. My hair just not cooperating. I don't know if you could tell. I kind of got it together a little bit, but it's just... It was a disaster. I get out of the shower, I'm all ready for the show, and it's just a mess. So I'm a little bit frazzled, I'm a little disoriented from that, but we're going to try and trudge forward in spite of that. Like I said, we do have a lot to talk about tonight about immigration. Our featured story tonight is about something that went down in New York, where because of a failed lawsuit, they're now going to be giving out driver's license to illegal immigrants in New York State. And you know, to me, that's not like the biggest, like most groundbreaking thing about immigration that's happening in the country. We'll actually talk about something that's a little bit more important also in the show. But to me, I just heard about that today. I see this all over the news. All the major conservatives, America First types are talking about it. And to me, it's just like, really? Driver's license for illegal immigrants? And this is not like a very new development in America. I think this is the 13th state. I believe I read in the news it's the 13th state that has allowed illegal immigrants to obtain a driver's license. But to me, I just think about what exactly is entailed in an illegal immigrant getting a driver's license, which is to say that they have to go to the DMV. And I'm sure that in some capacity, it is revealed that they are not here legally. And we're giving them documentation. We're giving them, again, a lot of the privileges that are afforded to normal citizens. So, I mean, it's only one of the most egregious things that's happening with immigration, but we'll talk about that. That'll be our main story. We'll also be talking tonight about this government spending bill that's being considered right now in Congress. You know, there's a lot happening with impeachment, of course, which I find to be very boring, which I don't really think is actually newsworthy at all. I think we all know basically what's happening with that. The few times that we have talked about impeachment, it's really just the same thing. You know, I think we sort of established from the beginning what the end game was for Democrats, which is simply to run out the clock on the election, tie up resources in the White House. But there is something much more important going on in Congress, which is this budgetary process. Of course, this time last year, we were building up to the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. It was last year, this time in 2018, when we were building up towards that big government shutdown over the border wall and President Trump's proposed budget for the border wall. I think he was asking at the time for something like $8 billion, $6 billion, something like that for a border wall last year. And it's pretty amazing because, of course, we all know how that round of budget talks went in Congress. We all know how that round of negotiations went last year. I think it went from December 21st, 2018 until sometime in February 2019. And we know that at the conclusion of that process, after over 30 days of government shutdown, we ended up with nothing. We ended up with $1.6 billion in funding for some kind of a border barrier, subject to all kinds of regulations and restrictions and so on. You know, I don't remember exactly the details, but there were height restrictions. They said you couldn't build it out of concrete. You couldn't build it in certain areas. We ended up getting basically $1.6 billion for replacement fencing in an area where you don't even have that much traffic with illegal immigration. This year, it actually gets better. You know, last year, like I said, we went through all that trouble, 30-plus days of government shutdown, ended up with nothing. This year, it's even better. We're not even going to shut down the government. We're just going to end up with nothing. Just from the outset, before we even approach a government shutdown or any kind of an impasse, we have already agreed to not get any money for the border wall. And actually, there are some things in the spending bill which are worse for us, not just on immigration, but on other things. So that we'll be talking about that as well. It should be a pretty good show. Pretty exciting. Got a lot of good feedback for the show last night. Everybody was saying, one of the best, one of your favorites, all that. So I do appreciate that. I'm glad you guys were enjoying the show yesterday. Tonight's a little bit lower stakes tonight. We're sort of back to return to form here, talking about immigration and current events and things like that. That's what we have on the menu for tonight. Before we dive into all that, I do just want to go over very briefly, I think I discussed this last night. We didn't get to it at the beginning of the show yesterday, but it was this article from The Atlantic. And it was about some femoid, and it was about the miseducation of American boys. And like I said, I was going to talk about it at the top of the show yesterday, but ran out of time. You know, I figured I wanted to spend a lot of time on what's happening with that anti-BDS law in the United Kingdom. Wanted to spend a lot of time on what was happening in Virginia. Obviously, very important. But I do just want to get a little something in here this week about this, because I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it's maybe every 3 months. It's so funny because a lot of these things are supposed to be annual. You know, we hear about annual International Women's Day or International Men's Day or Gay Pride Month or whatever. And to me, it feels like all these different things happen all the time. Do you get the same impression? And what I'm talking about is this article from The Atlantic. It's yet another piece about how, you know, boys are too masculine and toxic masculinity is ruining them and so on. And I feel like we hear sort of the same narratives. We get the same like holidays, we get the same like remembrance weeks, remembrance days, things like that. It feels like they come like once a month, or they come once every couple of months, not once every year. And I don't know, I'm not positive that if this was in accordance with like, you know, one of those holidays like International Men's Day or one of these awareness, you know, United Nations, fake Twitter hashtags, whatever. But I did see this article, and I did just want to highlight that a little bit, because I see this all the time. And I don't know about you guys, but it just makes me beside myself. It makes me beside myself that, you know, and to give you just like a general gist of the article, I don't have it right in front of me. But you have this female from The Atlantic, and she writes about how, you know, boys, young boys from Generation Z have been corroded by masculinity from previous generations, that, you know, they use anti-homosexual slurs, and, you know, they're hyper-masculine and so on, which, you know, to me is just so out of touch with where we are today, right? I don't think you could survey the country really anywhere or anywhere on the internet and say that the problem with men is that they're too masculine, right? Or they're too anti-politically correct, right? They're too offensive, sensational, whatever. And of course, we always hear this refrain from women. It's always from women journalists. You know, whenever it is an International Men's Day, or even if it's International Women's Day, we always get the pitch from women, which is, here's what's wrong with men. Here's what men need to do. Here's the problem with men. And I just find it so fascinating, because of course we know that I don't think we can really get the kind of prescription for where we need to be with men from women. So I saw that article from The Atlantic. It's really just more of the same, and I had to throw that out there because it's been in like my Twitter recommended Twitter moments for like the past 3 days. And every time I'm scrolling through, I see that, and I'm just like, why, you know, why do we have to see this kind of thing? But anyway, not a huge deal, not a huge story. We're going to dive in. I really do want to talk about this spending bill. I want to spend a little bit of time on this. So we're going to dive right in. Like I said, you know, the story that started 2019, we're headed towards the end of 2019, it's almost the new year. The story that began 2019, if you can even remember, all throughout January, all really throughout February, was the government shutdown, right? And this happens, I think this has happened really for the past like 10 years or so. I think it really kicked into gear with Barack Obama, that we really don't have a budgetary process like we used to, where you just come up with a budget and you pass the budget and, you know, the president and the Congress basically come to an agreement on what should be funded and how much money should be spent. You know, there were obviously periods in the 1990s when you had government shutdowns and so on, but I feel like in the past 10 years, it's just been completely dysfunctional. Particularly in this administration, it feels to me like ever since this president got inaugurated, we just have not had a clear agreement on budget. Even, for example, when we had two chambers of Congress controlled by Republicans. You know, I don't know if you remember even way back, like 2017, 2018, when you had the first omnibus spending bill. I think this was April 2017. You know, this was a terrible, huge spending bill. Omnibus, meaning they package a bunch of different spending bills for a really long time into one bill, and they pass it all at once. You know, even back when we had both chambers of Congress controlled by Republicans, there was feuding over how much money would go towards immigration, how much would go towards defense, this kind of thing. You know, the president jockeying with the House, House fighting with the Senate, and so on. And we know that it's only gotten worse since Democrats took control of the House of Representatives in November 2018. And so, like I said, you know, we started out this year with this big government shutdown. And at the time, I said it was very exciting because I don't know if you remember the context of last year, but it was right after the disastrous midterms, November 2018. The Republican Party got destroyed in the House. I don't even think we did that great in the Senate. You know, President Trump liked to say at the time that, well, nobody talks about how great the GOP did in the Senate. I mean, do we really do great in the Senate? We lost Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Anyway, so the context of the last government shutdown, the context of the last budgetary process was the Republicans had gotten basically destroyed. They'd gotten blown out in the midterms. And then, to me, it was a sign of hope. It was very encouraging. I was optimistic that the president was going to take immigration seriously and we would have a government shutdown, and this would create serious pressure for people in Congress to start to address the border situation. You know, we remember the context last year that, of course, 0 miles of border wall had been constructed. We're still in that situation. The pressure was on for the president to deliver on immigration. And even at this time in December last year, the big question was, is the president even going to shut down the government over immigration? In other words, is he going to fight for border wall funding? Is he going to fight for his agenda in Congress, or is he sort of just going to let it go? And so that he shut down the government last year, and it went on for a month. You know, it was the longest government shutdown in history, and there was this hardline approach. To me, that gave me a lot of hope coming into 2019. I said, you know, if Donald Trump is able to extract serious funding for the wall, if he's able to make Congress submit, you know, or if he just shuts down the government indefinitely, this is a sign of strength. This is a sign that he takes the immigration agenda seriously. And of course, we know that at the conclusion of the government shutdown, what we got was a deal that was worse than the year before. You know, not only do we not get any meaningful money for a border wall, but there were all kinds of restrictions put in place as to what kind of barrier could be built with the money allocated by the spending bill and even any other money that was allocated, even for DHS to use their own money to build the border wall. You know, for example, they said it couldn't be built out of concrete, it couldn't be 30 feet tall, it couldn't be in certain parts of the border. Not only that, but if you remember, there were all kinds of other terrible provisions. It limited the amount of beds for detention facilities along the border. It expanded some of these programs that release illegal immigrants being detained on the border into the interior of the country. Worst of all, it gave total legal immunity from deportation to sponsors and potential sponsors of unaccompanied minors. And so to me, that was just like the ultimate black pill. Whereas we started out 2019 with this optimism that the president's taking immigration seriously, he might change things, there might actually be some progress here, he's going to actually hold the GOP and the Democrats' feet to the fire on immigration. Within 2 months, it was the worst capitulation in the entire administration. Worst budgetary process ever, and it actually made immigration worse as opposed to better or even staying the same. And like I said, this year, somehow we have topped ourselves. Somehow this year we have made it even better. We have exceeded expectations. This is according to Politico. It says lawmakers released the details Monday of a bipartisan spending deal that would rain down $49 billion in extra funding upon nearly every facet of the federal government during the next 9 months. Now, I will say, before I dive into the rest of the article, can you take a guess at which project? It says it will rain down $49 billion in extra funding upon nearly every facet of the federal government. Can you take a wild guess at which facet of the federal government is not getting $50 billion rained down upon it? Can you take a wild guess at which project, which facet of the federal government is not going to get excess funding, surplus funding? The article goes on. It says the more than 2,300 pages of bill text are expected to be signed into law before week's end, cementing a total of $738 billion in fiscal year 2020 for the military and $632 billion for non-defense departments such as education, housing and urban development, and health and human services. $738 billion for the military. Do you know how much money that is? $738 billion just for the military alone. The House plans to pass the fiscal 2020 spending bills in two packages on Tuesday, likely followed by Senate passage before federal funding runs out at midnight on Friday. So the deadline, of course, for this government shutdown for the budgetary process is Friday. With President Donald Trump's signature, the measures would dissolve the threat of a government shutdown until October 1st, 2020, and negate the need for more stopgap spending measures that keep funding levels static. So, of course, you know, just to give you a brief overview, for the past so many years, we've been having these government shutdowns because the House and the Senate will authorize spending that will fund the government through so many months. Sometimes it's very short term, sometimes it's a few months, sometimes it's for a whole year, sometimes it's 9 months. And so the deadline we're facing on Friday is that on Friday, the government will basically run out of authorized money, you know, money that the Congress has earmarked and authorized to be spent. And so that means that non-essential services will begin to shut down. You know, we saw this last year, we saw this last fall, we saw this last spring, you know. This has been something that's been going on pretty frequently within the Trump administration. So in order to prevent the government shutdown, they're going to pass this blanket budget bill, fund all the government through to next October, so almost a full year. It says one package contains four bills, including the defense, homeland security, commerce, justice, science, and financial services spending measures. The other minibus holds eight bills to fund the Departments of Agriculture, Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, Energy, Interior, Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, Veterans Affairs, and State, as well as the EPA, Congressional Operations, and Water Projects. Following a late-breaking deal early Tuesday morning, congressional leaders in the White House agreed to include language extending a slew of expiring tax provisions. That so-called extenders legislation will be rolled into the bill text before the House votes to pass the eight-measure package. The agreement between Democrats and Republicans includes long-sought money for research into gun violence, permanent repeal of three major health insurance taxes, no new funding for international family planning help, millions for election security grants, billions in added Pentagon cash, and a 3.1% pay raise for federal civilian employees. Also on tap are billions more than requested by the White House to help carry out the 2020 census, and record funding for the Head Start program for at-risk young children, which is great. This is the part that really matters. It says the impasse over border wall funding was solved this time with a trade-off. Money for the U.S.-Mexico barrier will stay static during the current fiscal year at about $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. Rather than the president's request for $8.6 billion. Budgets for the nation's two immigration enforcement agencies, Customs and Border Protection and ICE, also are largely flatlined. It says, but the deal does not tie Trump's hands in being able to shift cash from other pots of money, as he has done in trying to siphon more than $6 billion from military construction projects, a Treasury forfeiture fund, and Pentagon counter-drug efforts. While the number of immigrants ICE can keep detained at any one time will stay the same under the measure, the compromise does not bar the administration from transferring money to increase that detention number if there is a surge in incoming undocumented immigrants. So it's really the same deal as last year, except this time we're not even putting up a fight at all. So if you remember last year, and just to put the numbers in context, I'll say before we even get into the timeline, the border wall in total, the whole project, costs $25 billion. That includes $17 billion for the actual construction of the border wall. And then that includes about an additional $8 billion for additional ICE agents, for more federal judges to adjudicate cases with illegal immigrants. That includes more money for detention facilities, more Customs and Border Patrol agents. It includes money for maintenance, surveillance. So the actual physical wall is about $17 billion, and they put out a blueprint. The White House put out a blueprint of what that would entail. I think this was 2 years ago. It was around December, January, 2 years ago. And they said it would be about $17 billion. The president is asking for $8.6 billion. We got $1.4 billion. Now understand, the federal budget, what they're looking to spend in this bill is, if you're looking at the $738 billion for defense and $632 billion for non-defense, you're talking about $1.4 trillion. That's the context. That is the perspective of the entire budget that we're dealing with in this particular spending bill, is $1.4, $1.5 trillion. That is 1,400, you know, to give you a little to give you a little help with that. It's $1,400 billion, to say trillion another way. $1,400 billion is the total budget, and they're allocating $1.4 billion for a border wall. $1,400 billion, okay, for this spending bill through 9 months, and they say that the best we could do, the absolute best we could do for a border wall is $1.4 billion, one one-thousandth of the entire budget, okay? $738 billion for defense, $1.4 for a border wall, and all we need for the whole thing is 25. Needless to say, it's pretty outrageous, but it even gets better than that. Not only are we not spending any more money than we did last year for the border wall, and there's no fight, anything else, but it actually is better than that because it also is funding gun control measures. This is also from Politico. It's this quote, "For the first time in more than two decades, Democrats notched a victory in funding for research into gun violence. While the legislation retains long-held Dickey Amendment language," which I don't know what that is, but it sounds funny, "language ordering the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention not to lobby in favor of gun control, it requires the CDC and the National Institutes of Health to spend $12.5 million each on researching the issue, including by tracking gun-related deaths and injuries, as well as identifying correlations like the relationship between victim and shooter. Democrats had initially sought $25 million for each of the two agencies to carry out that work, but considered a win to have secured dedicated funding despite pushback from gun rights groups." So if you've been privy to the gun rights battle for the past so many decades, this has been one of the main features of it, at least from a policy perspective from the Democrats, is they have long sought for the CDC and for the NIH to do research into guns as a health thing, as like a health phenomenon. And this, of course, is so that they can use these studies and research to bolster and to underwrite gun control legislation at the state level, at the federal level. It's long been a subject of discussion, vehemently opposed to it as gun rights people, gun control people have been pushing it forever. And obviously, it's not a ton of money. You know, it's only $12.5 million each for the CDC and for the NIH. But nevertheless, I look across the board at what we're talking about with the spending bill, and I'm thinking, does this administration just really not even care anymore? You know, I was very optimistic. I was very white-pilled about this administration around September and October. You know, right when we saw that the DOD money that he allocated, you know, it talks in this article about how the president can still siphon money off from Treasury forfeiture funds and the DOD and, you know, some other elements of DHS, as he did this year. And I said earlier in this year in the fall that even though that has already happened, I think that happened in July, it was greenlit by the Supreme Court, and even though contracts have been drawn up, and even though in some sense we're making progress with illegal crossings, really we're not seeing the construction of a border wall. The number of border wall that has been constructed is still zero. And they've talked a lot about building more wall. They talked a lot about what their plans are, what the contracts say. You know, I think they said this fall that they intend to build 500 miles of border wall by 2020. They said a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about Jared Kushner being put in charge of the border wall construction, they said their goal is 450 miles of border wall completed by the election. And so they're talking a lot about plans, and they're talking a lot about what they intend to do and so on. But it's 3 years in, okay? January 20th, 2020 will be 3 years since Trump got inaugurated, and we have built 0 miles of new border wall. And I know, you know, I've said in the past that they've built replacement wall, replacement fencing, I should say, not an insignificant detail there, that it's fencing and not wall. And even though fencing, replacement fencing is better than existing fencing, even though it's better to build, you know, these rebar, or not rebar, it's, what is it, bollard steel fences, the slits, you know, 18 feet high. I guess that's better than just the anti-vehicle fencing that existed before in some cases. But you can go on Twitter and find any number of videos where illegal immigrants are sawing through it, cutting through it, they're climbing it, whatever. And again, it's better to have a taller structure than a shorter structure. But ultimately, what we have is not good. And what we have is only replacing, it's only being built in areas where you already had fencing. It's only replacing existing fencing. It's taking shitty fencing and making it less shitty fencing, leaving all the areas that had never had a fence completely open still. And with this spending bill, it doesn't come close to solving that. You know, it's $1.4 billion for more of this very limited steel bollard fencing in small areas. You can hardly even do anything with $1.4 billion. And in any case, he's not even going to fight. That, to me, is where you say, okay, that's the disappointment. Because I would get it if he was getting a lot of pushback. I would understand if the argument is, well, you know, he's just trying his best, but Congress is pushing back, and he's really trying to build the wall, but the judges just aren't letting him do it. He's trying to build the wall, but, you know, the New World Order, the deep state, QAnon says that they're poisoning his food or something. I would understand that, but not even trying. They're not even going to try to shut down the government. At this point, if I were Donald Trump, I would look at what's happening in the world. I would look at the state of this administration. And, you know, look, we could say that at some points Trump has clearly tried to do the right thing. Sometimes he hasn't, but let's get real about the progress. I think I said this yesterday. We were talking about the Israel BDS laws. I talked about the lack of progress in that context, but for a little refresher, we built 0 miles of new border. If you look at illegal immigration, this year is going to be on track to be one of the worst in decades. If you look at legal immigration, they want more people than ever. If you look at tech censorship, it's worse than ever. We don't have any trade deals. We still remain in all these foreign wars. We didn't even pull out of Syria. You know, all that fanfare over the summer about President Trump pulling 2,000 troops out of Syria. They pulled, I think it was 1,000 or 2,000 out into Iraq, and then they sent hundreds more in to Syria, and we found out there was a residual force of hundreds already. So, you know, we might have taken that number down from 1,000 to like 500. And anyway, all the people that aren't in Syria anymore are now in Iraq, you know? So I look around at the entire administration, everything that was promised, every issue, every major facet of the foundational issues that distinguish Trump from the rest of the Republican field, and the progress is either zero or we're worse off than when we started. We're worse off, right? I mean, social media is probably the most glaring one, but even in the case of immigration, I would say that if you look at illegal immigration outside of like refugees and some very niche issues, which people will bring up, the gross totals, I mean, the net totals of illegal immigration for months like May and June were historic record highs. In May, you had the worst illegal immigration numbers in 20 years. In June, it was the same thing. It was like 150,000 crossings in May, 120,000 in June. I mean, this is like unprecedented. And like I said, all of that is to say, we're not even trying to turn it around. You know, you got to ask yourself, what really is happening in the White House on a day-to-day basis? It's been 3 years. What are they doing? I mean, I guess we can kind of see in the fruits of what this administration produces, right? Which is tax cuts for the rich and more Gibbs for Israel. It seems to me that that is all that is going on in the cabinet. That's all that's going on in the White House every day, because I can't really see any evidence on any issue that there is a concerted effort inside the White House from the president or anybody else to follow through on the core promises. So it's very sad to see. I'm not going to say that he's out just yet. You know, of course, the 2020 election is still gearing up. You know, the Democratic primary is underway. The general will begin in summer of 2020. I imagine that maybe we'll see the president feel more inspired to follow through on these things when there's the pressure of an election. I think we all know that that dynamic exists, that when the president is in a competition with somebody politically, well, that is when he is going to take drastic action. That is when he's going to pull out all the stops. I imagine that that still might be a possibility this year, but, you know, I was very excited earlier on in like September and October. We were promised a lot of things. There was a lot that was allegedly in the works. And just like last year, it seems like all of that has evaporated. It was almost the same exact thing last year at the midterms. I don't know if you remember, but you know, last year in the midterms, it was like August, September, October. We sent down the National Guard to the border, and they talked about an executive order to repeal birthright citizenship. And Trump said, I'm a nationalist and all this. And then the election happened, and everything that was talked about completely evaporated. It was all gone. It never happened. Obviously, there wasn't an election in 2019. I mean, there were in some states, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't like it was an election year for the federal government. But still, we saw the same pattern. A lot of big promises, a lot of promise potential in September, October. You know, they're talking about executive orders and deals with Mexico, Guatemala, things like that. And by December, it just really doesn't seem to have materialized. You know, and I don't know, maybe some people have said, some people have tried to play, or some people have tried to reassure me, and, you know, maybe just to play devil's advocate, but maybe there's a possibility that he funds the government through to October, and once impeachment is resolved, maybe then he's going to siphon money from the DOD. Maybe then he's going to pull more money from these different agencies. You know, maybe he allocates $740 billion for the military with the intention of siphoning off a little bit off the top in 2020. I mean, that's a possibility. We could see that happen. Allegedly, he allocated emergency funds after the government shutdown this year. And even though that got greenlit by the Supreme Court, I still have not seen any evidence that that's produced anything on the border. But who knows? I mean, I guess it's a possibility. I guess it remains possible. It remains within the realm of possibility that something could happen on the border. But honestly, I see that we're just not even putting up a fight. You know, we're just giving the Democrats everything they want, asking nothing in return. And it's just really hard to justify that. It's really hard for me to rationalize that. It's hard for me to see what the angle is there. Because, you know, for what it's worth, we won the election in 2016. Does anybody remember that? We won the House, we won the Senate, we won the White House. And by the way, we still have the White House, and we still have the Senate, and we have the Supreme Court. So why can't we govern this fucking country? I mean, you know, sorry for the language, but seriously, isn't the whole premise supposed to be that we live in like a, and I don't even like democracy, but isn't the premise supposed to be that we live in a democracy and the voters elect representatives that represent their interests? You know, they campaign and they make promises, they tell us what we're going to do, we vote them in, and then they execute those promises, they execute the will of the people. Isn't that the whole idea? And so you would think that if we controlled all three branches of government, don't you think we would get what we wanted? Don't you think that we vote in, so Donald Trump gains control of the White House, gains control of the executive branch, all the departments, we win control of the House, the Senate, we control the entire legislative organ of the government. And as a result of the White House and the Congress being under our control, we now have a majority on the Supreme Court. Don't you think that if all that aligned, shouldn't the outcome have been that we would at least see a single mile of border wall? That we would at least see immigration get better and not worse from our perspective? And instead, you know who's governing this country? The House of Representatives. We, you know, I guess the argument goes that we can't build any border wall. We can't allocate any money for that because the House is controlled by the Democrats. Okay, but the Senate's controlled by the Republicans, and the White House is controlled by the Republicans, and the Supreme Court's controlled by the Republicans. So what gives? And, you know, and really, I think to ask the question is to answer it because, you know, even 2 years ago, when we had the House and the Senate, and the Democrats had no power in government, I mean, now they didn't have any power in government, but, you know, they didn't control any organ of the government in 2017, and we still didn't get it. You know, we still had that terrible omnibus spending bill. And I guess all of that is to say that all these interests at the top are conspiring against us to fix the system. I mean, that's ultimately the takeaway is, I mean, on a certain level, things can be better and worse, but ultimately, I don't think it's ever going to come from the top down. I don't think it's ever going to be sufficient that we elect the president and that is going to be enough to transform the country. I think we all knew that going in, and if you didn't, you should probably manage your expectations. But, I mean, clearly we can see that you can win the biggest electoral upset, one of the biggest electoral victories, you know, in the last 50 years, and it doesn't mean anything, you know. And within the end of 2020, by the end of this first term, there will hardly be any evidence that Trump ever occupied the White House. So it's very, very disappointing on the spending bill. I would have even liked even the threat of a government shutdown would have been better than this. Even if Donald Trump just went on the record and said, I'm not going to sign anything unless whatever, and then maybe backs down. But I mean, they're not even going to try anymore. At least last year, they feigned this toughness. We're going to shut down the government and I will not, you know, sign anything. At least last year, they played pretend. They made us believe. They really sold it last year, you know, with the month-long government shutdown and the World War II memorial was closed and all these, you know, government workers weren't getting paid. And, oh my gosh, maybe something will actually change. Maybe this actually means something. At least they really sold it. They really played it up last year. And this year, they're like, We're not even, I mean, if we could fight, we're going to give up anyway. You know, 1.4, that's fine. 1.4, spending for gun control, whatever, you know. So it's just sad to watch. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about this development in New York. So that's the spending bill. I guess we'll see what happens. Friday is when the deadline is for funding the government. If we don't pass a spending bill by Friday, government's going to shut down. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll hear something today. Maybe we'll hear something tomorrow. Probably not, but we'll keep an eye on that. We'll see what happens. My guess is, you know, they pass these shitty bills. No money's allocated for the border. Impeachment happens, and I would venture to guess that by the middle of next year, we're going to be in the same exact position we are now. No money spent, you know, no miles of border wall, new border wall constructed. I think we're going to be in the same boat. So all that optimism, hope and optimism from fall seems to be gone. But we're going to move on, like I said, talk about our featured story here, which is the illegal immigrant license issue. This is from Fox News. It says illegal immigrants in New York will be able to obtain driver's licenses starting next week after a last-minute legal challenge was dismissed, making it the 13th state to allow the practice, but one that critics say is unconstitutional. The green light law signed by Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo earlier this year allows anyone to apply for a driver's license regardless of their immigration status and does not require a social security number. Illegal immigrants can use a combination of documents that include a valid passport from a foreign country and a valid foreign driver's license as long as it has been expired for less than 2 years. And this is according to Immigration Coalition Executive Director Steve Choi. He said, after waiting 18 years to have their right to drive restored, thanks to our legislature, New York can now officially join 12 other states in making driver's licenses legally available to all residents. He said, or I'm sorry, this is State Senator Luis Sepulveda. He says, this is a major step forward for all New Yorkers as we keep building New York to live up to its full potential of equity, opportunity, and justice. We also look forward to the significant economic and safety benefits the law will bring to communities across our state. The controversial measure faced multiple lawsuits. Erie County Clerk Michael Kearns, whose lawsuit was dismissed last month, argued that the measure violated federal law and would make New Yorkers less safe. The Associated Press cited an estimate by the Fiscal Policy Institute that approximately 265,000 illegal immigrants in New York will get driver's licenses in the next 3 years, with more than half from New York City. So about a quarter of a million illegal immigrants in the next 3 years are going to be obtaining driver's licenses. And to me, it's like, again, like I said at the top of the show, I know illegal immigration is bad. We all know that. We also know that the problem with immigration isn't necessarily only that the people are coming illegally. It's only, as I said, the most egregious expression of this problem. It's only the most flagrant, ridiculous, indefensible aspect of what we're talking about. And this, to me, is the most flagrant, indefensible aspect even of illegal immigration. We all know that we've got millions and millions of illegal immigrants here, and in some sense, it is impractical, the idea that we're going to deport all of them tomorrow, or even if that we'll ever deport all of them. I think that is what should be done, but we look at our resources, they're woefully not sufficient to be deporting, you know, mass arresting and, you know, transporting millions of people outside the country, but giving them driver's licenses, inviting them to the DMV, inviting them to a government office, recognizing a foreign license or passport, and then giving them government identification in America, presumably so that they can drive, but also so that they can vote. I mean, let's be real about what this is really about. More about that in a moment. But the idea that these people are going to an official government office where they're flagrantly in violation of the law, and they're getting permitted, they're getting licensed by the government, I can't even really pretend to be shocked anymore. I can't even really pretend to be so outraged anymore. But it's just so gross to me that this goes on. The premise that the law is that if you enter the country without going through the proper process, well, you get deported. Why? And, you know, again, maybe there's a boomer argument, but why would anybody even bother to come here legally? Why would anybody even bother to get citizenship anyway, even if you're a legal resident? If you could just simply walk across the border and get all the same benefits and privileges of any voting person, or rather any citizen, right? Any native-born person, anybody that came through the proper process, why would anybody do that? If you could simply buy a plane ticket to Mexico and then come across the border. It's not hard. I mean, you've seen the videos of people that literally just walk right across or they drive right across. It happens every day. I just talked about the numbers earlier, 150,000 in the month of May alone, 150,000. So thousands every day are just walking right across. It's literally that simple. Buy a plane ticket to Mexico. How much does that cost? $500, $1,000. Get to Mexico, you know, rent a car, pay a coyote, get up to the border, cross, and you're in. And you're in just the same as everybody else. And you get the same privileges as everybody else, everybody that's born here. And, you know, probably offensively to immigrants, people that come through very arduous and difficult legal processes, right? Where they have to go on wait lists and they have to file for green cards or visas. They need a, you know, really good job or education or whatever. You just walk right in. That's not to say, again, that we're in favor of legal immigration, but it is just to say this is how ludicrous our system is. And the best is a legal challenge says, well, it's in violation of federal law, but also it's a national security threat. Like, yeah, that's to say the least. I mean, to say the least, we don't know who these people are. To say the least, we have no idea what they're about, what their intention is, what they're doing in this country. So at the bare minimum, yeah, kind of a national security threat that we've got. Millions of people coming here every year that we don't even know who they are. We can't keep track of them. We don't know why they're here, what they're about. You think that's a national security threat? There was a study being done, or that was released a couple of weeks ago, talking about how increasingly Africans from Africa are coming across the southern border of the United States. Because Africans are, of course, going to Mexico or to Central America, and they're walking across the border. You know, so we have no idea. We don't know where they're coming from. If they're coming from Africa, they can come from anywhere. So to say the least, it's a national security threat. But think about everything else it is on top of that, that these people are, they're taking jobs. I mean, of course. I like how the left and even a lot of, you know, some cucked conservatives will say immigrants are taking jobs. What do you mean they're not taking jobs? They have to support themselves while they're here. So either they're on welfare, which is terrible, or they're taking jobs. There's a finite number of jobs. They're not taking jobs, they're growing the economy. Well, I mean, necessarily, if there's a finite number of jobs, they are taking them. Insofar as they have a job, a native-born person is not having a job. So either they're taking a job or they're taking welfare. I mean, then, you know, on top of national security, you've got that. On top of that, what do you think they're doing here? Do you think it's just, who do you think is coming across the border illegally? Do you think it's just like old-timers, or it's just really ambitious entrepreneurs, scientists? Typically, it's families, right? Typically, it's couples, it's young people, it's families. And so what do you think happens when these people come to New York State or New York City and they have kids? Well, their kids go to public schools. And of course, everybody gets sick, so the whole family and the kids are using hospitals and using the healthcare system. And they're taking up housing. And you look at the homeless problem in some of these major cities, New York City a little bit less than LA, but I mean, nevertheless, you've got homelessness in New York City, so they're occupying housing. And just think about that. And they're not even supposed to be here. It's illegal. They're committing a crime by being here. And that's the extent of the liability that they're causing us just by being present here. And it's not even legal. Sucking out public resources, sucking out money, taking jobs, they're a national security risk. And on top of that, you know, if all that's not enough, I think any boomer would agree with probably a lot of that. They're completely transforming the texture of life in the country, right? I mean, they're completely transforming what it means to be an American. You know, some people like Bill Kristol say illegal immigrants are, you know, they're very American, or they embody the American spirit because, like, they work hard or something, because they have jobs and they work hard. Well, I mean, there's a lot of studies that show that the only people that really have pride in their work and the only people that really are not taking breaks during work, multiple studies that have been done about this, was really white people. So I'll just add that. But beyond that, you know, let's forget about this argument for a second. Let's say that they are the most hardworking. Let's say that they are, like, really great and everything. If they're here illegally, that shows that they don't respect the law. So at the bare minimum, they have no respect for the authority of the government. That's kind of a critical part of the fabric of the country, which is to say that you follow the rules. In other words, you can't have an orderly, cohesive country if you don't have people that follow the laws, that respect the laws, that are following them, and so on. So that's number one. Number two, they all speak Spanish. They're coming from Mexico. They all speak Spanish. And there's legal immigrants from other places, but we know predominantly it's a Hispanic issue. So they're speaking another language, they're bringing a foreign culture, and they're not even supposed to be here. And it's like, again, And it's just so many levels where it's so many levels where this is wrong. This is just like the worst of the worst. Maybe you can't deport all of them tomorrow, but at the bare minimum, don't give them driver's licenses. How does that make any sense? Maybe if they can't find a nice way of life here, they'll just leave. You know, to me, that should be the approach. If we can't track down and detain and try and remove every single legal immigrant, at the bare minimum, we should make it as uncomfortable for them as possible, wouldn't you say? Because then maybe they'll start to move themselves out of the country. If you passed mandatory E-Verify in every state so they couldn't get jobs, and you passed, I don't know what this would look like in policy, but if you passed some kind of sweeping welfare reform that made sure that nobody could get any form of public assistance at a federal level, if they were an illegal, maybe mandated that for the states. I mean, you could do so much in the way of law to make it as hard as possible for these people to be here, and maybe they take a hike. And what does that mean? It means more jobs. It means more resources for hospitals, more resources for schools. It means that maybe we begin to see some kind of renaissance, maybe some kind of American renaissance for our culture in a certain sense. Then maybe we start to see, I don't know if English is going to come back anytime soon, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe we start to see some of these foreign national communities begin to dry up. But instead, we're making it easier. Instead, we're giving them basically everything short of outright citizenship. And at that point, citizenship becomes something that's totally optional and actually maybe something that's really just a burden. Maybe something that's really just sort of a chore and doesn't actually confer any kind of benefits at all. Because if you're an illegal immigrant in a lot of these states, you can get public transportation. Like I said, you could use the schools, you could use the hospitals. In many cases, you can use public assistance. You know, some states don't even care. You could see this happening a lot in California. If you could get a driver's license, what do you think the next step is for people that have driver's licenses? They'll be able to vote, right? I mean, if you're taking away all the checks on, voter ID and everything else, if all you need is, a little government card, you flash that, illegal immigrants will be able to vote next. So what can an illegal immigrant not do that a citizen can? Is there really anything except for like pay taxes? It seems to me like the only difference anymore between a citizen and an illegal immigrant, because if an illegal immigrant can vote and all the rest, everything I just laid out, what is really the only difference other than a citizen must pay taxes? You know, that a citizen must pay income tax and they must file and they get audited and they do jury duty and everything else. Seriously, what is the difference? I fail to see any difference anymore between an illegal immigrant and a citizen. They get the same stuff. And in some cases, it's even better for the illegal immigrant. In some cases, it's better. In many cases. Because at least the citizens have responsibilities for the illegal immigrants. They didn't even have to come here the right way. Now they're here, they get everything. And what's the expectation? The only tax I think they pay is like sales tax and maybe FICA, you know, depending on the state, depending on, I guess, the employer, the firm. If it's totally off the books, obviously, they're probably not paying. They're not paying into Social Security and so on. But so I see that. And it's just like we don't have a country anymore. That when that happens, you just don't have a country anymore. If everybody's an American, nobody's an American, because that's essentially what you're saying. If all it takes is for somebody to literally just get on the land and that's it, and they're an American, that means everyone in the world is potentially an American, because that's all it takes. At least 20 years ago, what it meant to be an American, you didn't have to be a certain religion, race, ethnicity, have a certain culture, whatever. That was 20 years ago. But you did have to have your papers. And that wasn't a lot. You know, that was not a... I'm not saying that like it was a good thing. I'm not saying like, well, but that was great. I'm saying even 20 years ago was terrible. But that's all we were asking. That was the only source of American identity. That was the only thing that made the identity exclusive and distinct was, okay, you don't even have to speak English. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be European. You don't have to be... You don't even have to like this country. You don't even have to eat apple pie. It could just be, you know, indistinguishable from anybody else in the world. But you just have to pass a test. You know, you just have to get on the land and, you know, say George Washington's the first president. And I don't know what the immigration quiz looks like, but some level of English proficiency, a civics test, and you have your papers. Now, all you have to do is be on the land, and that's it. No matter how you get there, whether you cross the border, whether you overstay a visa, whether you take a plane, you just get by customs, whatever it is, if you're on the land, I mean, you are an American. And like I said, if everyone in the world is an American, no one is an American. America means nothing anymore. That word, in an objective sense, it means nothing anymore. The United States of America is not a country. How could it be a country? It doesn't have borders. It doesn't have laws. So that is to me the big picture for something like this. Because you could say, yeah, well, this practice of giving illegal immigrants a driver's license has already happened in 13 different states and whatever, and maybe it's not a huge deal. But to me, that's what it communicates. We probably already knew this in some sense, but it means that what it means to be an American, it means nothing to be an American. It means nothing to live in the United States. We don't have a government. We don't have borders. We don't have laws. In some sense, it's the end of an era. And I've said this before. I mean, we will still live on this continent in some capacity, and maybe we will still call it America, but it's going to be a completely different country in every way, shape, and form. Demographically, legally, politically, socially, in every way, shape, and form, this is not going to be the same country. You could say it's America, but it won't be the same. And it'll be worse. And everybody knows that. To me, those are the two main questions you have to ask yourself is the country going to stay the same? And then once you figure out for yourself that it's not going to stay the same, that it's going to change dramatically, then, well, is the change good or bad? Well, we know the answers to both those questions. The country will never be the same, and it will have changed for the worse. And we all know that. So that's the illegal immigrant problem. They really should just send DHS and just start rounding these people up, man. They should send, because I don't know if you saw, but there are pictures being posted all across Twitter of people lining up around the block after this was announced. Lining, actually, for multiple blocks of illegal immigrants lining up at the DMV to get their driver's license. DHS should have been on there with tanks, armored vehicles, helicopters, soldiers. You know, we got how many troops do we have in Afghanistan? We should be using the military to get these people out, right? Just pack them up, send them back. Build the wall first, pack them up, send them back. But instead, we're giving them driver's licenses. That's because they have no intention of leaving. Government has no intention of getting them out of here. This is just our country now. This is a country for everybody and therefore for nobody. But anyway, that's the law. It's pretty tough to watch. It's very unfortunate to see, but you know, that's what it is. And where is Trump on all this? I don't know. I mean, what can he do? Would he even try to do anything if he could do anything? I don't know. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. We've got Mr. Corgi, who says, closed on Sunday. You're my Nick Filet. Okay. Tyler says the president confirmed for SAS. Yeah, I saw that. Kind of blackmailing that the president is going to be at the Turning Point conference this weekend. Maybe he'll make an appearance at Groiper Leadership Summit. Wouldn't that be nice? But I don't think that's going to happen. Joe the King says pee pee poo poo. Okay. Mike says watch the throne now on Spotify. Kings best song. Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty good. As you know, for years I actually kind of like forgot about that album because it wasn't on Spotify, and I don't think it was on any streaming service, not even like YouTube, except for it was on Tidal, and that was it. So I haven't listened to that album for years because you just can't find it anywhere. I didn't have like downloaded or anything. It's not like convenient. I guess you probably could find it, but it's not like, don't have the same ease of access as everything else. So yeah, it's pretty good to see Watch the Throne on Spotify. Favorite song, probably, obviously, Nibba's in Paris is good, and, Otis is a pretty good song, No Church in the Wild, it's not my favorite album, but it's pretty good. As the Crow Flies says, was driving through my mom's all-Hispanic neighborhood listening to White Christmas by Bing Crosby. Based? It's pretty cringe, actually. I was driving around listening to a song. Am I based? Not really. Trent, it's kind of a bad super chat. Trent says, the Virgin replying immediately in a Twitter argument versus the chat replying 5 days later so they don't remember what the argument was about. Yeah, that's really Chad. Punish Chewy says, the masses want to know when phase two of the Groiper War begins and what it entails. Can you give us any hints? No. Colton says, and stop asking. Colton says, would you do a crossover stream with Charles Carroll? You guys are my favorite creators. It would be like when Batman met Scooby-Doo. What if Neil deGrasse Tyson? What is that, Sam Hyde? thing that he did recently. What if Barack Obama met Elon Musk and they were both dressed like Liam Neeson? I don't know. I mean, I like Charles Carroll a lot, but I don't think he's very political, so I don't know if he'd want to do it. Simp Exterminator says, I'm sure this was brought up yesterday, but since I wasn't here, were you aware of the homosexual Jesus Netflix movie? Yeah, I saw a little bit about it on Twitter, but I didn't really read too much into it. Enverse says, my dad has been giving me a hard time about my grades and missing work lately. I told him to trust the plan, but he didn't seem to listen. Well, you know, you got to go to work. You got to get your grades up. Not everybody can be the Groiper genius leader of the movement, so it's a little different. West Nat says, the Chad observing nature and using common sense versus the virgin. I'm going to need to see a source for that in at least 3 peer-reviewed journals. So I see we're still doing, very basic virgin and Chad meme. Thank you. That is still hot. That is still fresh. Punish 2, he says, "Durr, virgin bad thing versus Chad good thing." Funny. That's just my reaction to these things these days. It's like, virgin bad thing versus Chad good thing. Like, what? You're not even really saying anything. Let's see. Jew says, God's will trumps the founders. To mock other races is to mock God's creation. Denying good-hearted immigrants because of race is wrong. God loves all, America's for all. God's will be done. Well, I don't know if this is sarcastic. I can only basically read this as sarcastic. If it's authentic, I would find that hard to believe if you're earnestly saying this. Let's see. Maga Zog says, black women are just so damn attractive. Okay. All right. Johnny says, no pee-pee in the poo-poo, never. Melrose Diner says, forgot to connect my Bluetooth headphones. We are about to become a minority, Nick yells on a crowded New York City subway platform. Could have been worse, to be honest. Yeah, I guess so. That's typically a bra moment. You always want to be very cognizant. Sometimes I feel that way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't tell if I'm hearing it in my headphones or if it's playing from the speaker. And I like double and triple check and make sure like, oh, I hope I'm not like just blasting this. Like if I'm on a plane or if I'm on like an Uber or something. Or even if I'm just around my house. You know, playing certain content or whatever. It's like, I don't know how this is going to be received. TW says, hey, big guy, Wagey here, just saying how grateful I am for the work you do. I don't have the time to listen to your stream live, but every morning I enjoy the antics. Have a wonderful Christmas and God be with you. Well, thanks. Merry Christmas to you too. Master of War with a big super chat. Thanks a lot. He says, all based in Red Pill, World of Warcraft players are encouraged to join Sean's new guild, Orked. Sadly, the Daily Stormwind has disbanded due to a large influx of unchecked immigration, resulting in us becoming a minority in our own server. Okay, well, you heard it here first. I don't play World of Warcraft, but I guess if you are in the Daily Stormwind, you got to move over. Mario says, why go so hard against TRS when they don't even shit-talk you? And last time they ever even talked about you was in a positive manner. I don't think I really go hard against TRS. When's the last time we've even talked about TRS on the show? I don't even think we've even talked about them for a few weeks. A lot of the stuff from Wignats is just like pure projection. It's like, the show is really, it's never really like about Wignats. Then they rarely even come up. And if they do, it's just sort of like a dismissive, like, yeah, they're cringe, like they're dumb, whatever. Why do you go so hard on TRS? I go hard on TRS. I don't really recall. You got a link for that? I think my position on TRS has been, you know, look, it's not for me. I think a lot of it's cringe. I'm entitled to my, that's not going hard. I'm just telling you, people ask me, what do you think of TRS? And I say, well, I think they're just pretty cringe. That's just my opinion, you know. This was talked about years ago. I said, you know, they're going to do their thing and I'm going to do my thing. You know, they've got obviously a very different style and a different approach and slightly different ideas. And, you know, we're doing our thing over here. You know, we talked about this in like 2017 or 2018. You know, the resolution was, you know, you guys do your thing and I'll do my thing. And, you know, people always want to force conflict or force an alliance or something like that. But, you know, it's just different lanes. So, but I don't know, why go so hard? I don't think anybody, if anything, it's the opposite. All these Wignats go hard on me. I know, I don't even think about these people. And, you know, sometimes people will tag me and it's just these people are obsessed. So the only people I go hard against are neocons, Conservative Inc., Charlie Kirk, Shapiro, these kinds of types. I keep my eye on the prize. This whole year, my eye's been on the prize. I've been focused on fighting the true enemy as opposed to all this, like, very petty, gay, you know, drama and, you know, people starting, look at what Nick did, you know. So I've been keeping focused on the enemy. Everybody else has been fixated, obsessed with me and with, you know, dumb drama, stuff like that. So I think it's the opposite. Calvin says, Boomer, get outside and get some fresh air, kid. It says, Boomer, get outside and get some fresh air, kid. Okay, send the link. That's a pretty Boomer joke. I'll say, though, that the get outside and get the fresh air, kind of like, what a disaster that was in my childhood. Because, you know, it's so funny to me that when I was growing up, being a gamer was just, like, totally frowned upon. If you were a gamer, it was, like, synonymous with, like, loser. At least, this is what my parents made me, they gamer shamed me. They game shamed me. Whenever I want to go inside and play video games, they'd be like, you need to get outside. You need to get some fresh air. It's like, and do what? It's not the 1950s anymore. My parents would be like, when I was your age, we would leave the house at morning and we wouldn't come back until night. We'd be out all day playing baseball in the alleys. It's like, but it's not 1970 anymore. Okay, it's 2019 and everybody's doing their thing. And you're like helicopter parents anyway, you know, across the neighborhood. It's like, even if you want to hang out with somebody, you had to arrange like a play date and whatever. I mean, this is like, that's the thing. Boomers like destroyed the idea of just going out in the neighborhood and whatever. But then simultaneously, they're like, no, but you need to go out and do that. It needs to be like the old days, whatever. And anyway, I didn't even want to go outside and get fresh air. I want to be a gamer. And now I feel like my gamer development was stunted because I was shamed for it. You know, I talked to a lot of my friends and they're like gamers. They're like completed so many games. They played so many games when they were kids. And I'm like, oh, I can't relate. I can only play for a few hours at a time before my mom gave me a hard time. And she made me go, you know, play outside. Maybe go play, you know, Nerf battles outside. You lose all your darts anyway, right? So I really, as I grow older, I feel like a deep sense of regret. I should have played more video games when I was a child. Because I am slowly, like, recovering these repressed memories. You guys all know what I'm talking about when you'd be gaming and, you know, mom be like, time to shut that off. It's time for bed. Or, you know, you should really go outside more often. Why? I'm having a time of my life. Me and the bros, we're gaming. We're playing Star Wars Battlefront 2. We're playing Heroes and Mos Eisley, okay? We're playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2008. It's Royal Rumble. It's a long match, Mom. So, anyway, yeah, get outside and get some fresh air. Very triggering for me. Very triggering. Give me some PTSD. AmeriChad says, what food causes the worst farts, in your opinion? This is just a silly question. Pineapple says, nitrogen, most of the atmosphere, is 777? Okay, don't really know what that means. Philip says, hey, I heard your producer is hot. Is she single? Wow, so you must be gay then, because my producer is a guy. He's a Zoomer, we all know, named Bryce. So, you hear my producer's hot? What are you, gay, bro? You gay for my producer, Bryce? Philip says, it's only a joke. Please no ban. Hey, oh, I don't know if it's only a joke. Yamato says, thoughts on neocolonialism. I don't know. What do you mean? What are my thoughts on it? thoughts? What? How about, like, you know, what do you think? Is it good? Is it bad? Does it exist? You know, but thoughts on neocolonialism? I don't really have any. Not at the top of my head. I don't really feel very strongly about it. Groyper Convert says, Crazy Uncle Ben is on his alts again. Brace for impact. I don't know what that means. Anon says, have you ever met an El Goblino or Soy Boy Wajak IRL? Oh my gosh. They're so bad tonight, man. The super chats yesterday were really good, and the super chats tonight are just really bad so far. We've only been doing this for like 10 minutes, I think. Have you ever met an El Goblino or Soy Boy Wojak IRL? I don't know, probably. Jane says, thank you for your continued efforts to bring peace and refocus the tensions between Catholics and Protestants towards our real enemies, those who hate us both. Yeah, for sure. It's what I'm trying to do, trying to bring people together on our side. It's what it's about. You know, I am a unifier. I'm trying to, well, oh no, don't want to say that. I was going to say I'm going to try to unite a certain element, but, you know, there's some certain connotations there. But we are trying to unite these America First forces. Again, as I've been saying for a long, it's been very controversial. People have been trying to shut it down at every step of the way. We are trying to build a coalition for America First. And, you know, I've been saying it, trust the plan. The plan is so good. The plan is working so well. And this makes people afraid. Don't you understand? There's been like unprecedented shilling against me, against Groypers, from everywhere. And do you know what this is all about? It's because it is working. It is because we are taking issues like criticizing Israel. We're taking demographic realism. We're taking Christian social values. We're mainstreaming all this stuff. You know, a lot of that is, terminology. We're mainstreaming a lot of these ideas. We're mainstreaming a lot of different things. And this has got the establishment terrified. That is why they're throwing up all these, you know, sort of false flag, you know, disinfo, counter intel type things. Oh, no, Nick did this. Nick said that. Oh, is this, you know, take a look at this. Look at this screenshot on poll, on Twitter, everywhere. You know, Charlie Kirk doing it, the ZOA doing it. Whatever, it is unprecedented levels of opposition and shilling because they are legitimately terrified that we're taking all these issues mainstream in a way that has never been done before. So it's very exciting. The coalition's being built up. Jane says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9. Yeah. Kevin says, George Soros, not my president. See, this is what I mean by cringe super chats. What does that mean? George Soros, not my president. Do you think that's clever? Peanuts says, part of the campaign for Yancey running for Texas Senate in March 2020 says we should deport all illegal immigrants who have committed crimes. And I pray to God that this guy understands being here illegally is a crime. Then that's a problem. So often they don't. They're talking about, you know, if they come here and they commit crimes on top of coming here illegally. So, yeah. I'm not really sure what you want me to do with that, but true. Moth Butt says, happy Christmas. Yeah, you too. Chicken on a Raft says, went to a friend's office holiday party. Some black girls asked me to take their photo. I meant to say, raise the roof for a picture, but accidentally said, hands up. That's kind of funny. Justano says, thoughts on the Papa John Day of Reckoning. I don't, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm definitely getting excited for it. The Day of Reckoning. Blitzkrieg says, are you ever considering a Knicker meetup? Nope. J-Dog says, people who don't get lolly socks and catboys expose themselves as non-Zoomers. It's so true. And they always freak out. They're like, these Zoomers just say, you don't get it. These Zoomers just say, okay, Boomer, when we call them out for catboys. And it's like that Wojak where he's wearing a smiley mask, but he's crying. And that's it. It's like, but you just don't get it. But you'll just never get it. It's such a, it's a Zoomer thing, Boomer. You just wouldn't understand. You just don't understand. You just don't understand the plan. So, very true. Coleman says, anytime I go on a normie Twitter and I see the trough of slop that is normie's political opinions, makes me want to go Wignat mode. Yeah, relating to that. Emmett says, Merry Christmas to you and all of the Knickers. Stay based and red-pilled in 2020 and beyond. Well, thanks, you too. Oliver says, who would win in a fight, Hunter Avalon or John Doyle? John Doyle easily. John Doyle would kick the shit out of Hunter Avalon. John Doyle, I don't know if you've seen him, but John Doyle's actually like muscular. John Doyle's actually like got mass on him. And the guy's like off the goop when it comes to the guns. I saw this video of him. Somebody sent it to me. It was hilarious. He went to a Walmart. It might have been a Walmart. It was some store. I think it was a Walmart. And he was just open carrying, had this big-ass gun in a holster. And he was just, like, approaching people and, like, talking to them about his gun. And people were freaked out. The guy's just, like, absolute unit, absolute Chad. And Hunter Avalon's just, like, a pussy. I mean, the guy's, like, and I don't know if it's, like, a soy thing or whatever. It's just a physiognomy thing. He's just got the physiognomy of a very weak, sort of effeminate male. You know, there's that, what did he did that video where he put on girls' makeup. You know, so no contest. John Doyle would punish Hunter Avalon. He would break all his teeth. I would want to see that. That would be a good fight. modern monarch, you know, for John Doyle, strikes me as a bit of a neo-lib. He's based on some things, it seems. I heard he brought up E. Michael Jones on one of his videos, and he's in favor of guns and everything. A little bit neo-lib on some issues, I guess. I haven't really clocked him just yet. I haven't really gotten, you know, a good idea of where he is. I don't want to say too many nice things. I don't want to, like, get him in trouble, you know, but he seems to be a little bit based there. And in a little bit, even if he is like a neoliberal, pretty chad for a neoliberal. Modern Monarchist says, longtime viewer and first super chat. Just want to say thank you, E. Michael Jones, Jared Taylor, Iconoclast, and you are the future, Logos Rising. Well, thanks. Glad to hear it. Yeet Skeeterson says, hey, Nick, you ever consider taking the rural pill? Tucker Carlson is moving forward on building a studio in Woodstock, Maine. Is that true? I mean, let me take a look at that. Tucker Carlson studio. That doesn't sound right to me. Oh no, here it is. Tucker Carlson moves ahead with plans for Maine studio. Town of Woodstock has approved a transfer of land previously owned by the municipality to Tucker Carlson. I don't see anything about a studio though. Oh, here it is. At the time of the sale, the land included a garage. Carlson had said he hoped to turn it into a studio for his work on Fox News. Huh. I'm never going to take the rural pill. I can't do rural. I didn't grow up on a farm. So to me, it's just, I just can't live like that. I've driven through rural areas. I've been to rural areas in the South, in the Midwest. It's just not for me. I'm not going to say, you know, look, you enjoy your way of life. I'll enjoy my way of life. I was born in the suburbs. I love the suburbs. The suburbs to me is like utopia. It's like heaven on earth. And some people are not going to understand that. Some people are going to disagree. But it's my home. It's what I love. That's sort of the texture, the speed of life that I like. The physiognomy of a neighborhood that I like. You know, it's in the city, it's too much congestion. In the rural, it's not enough. In the suburbs, you get just enough where you can drive around. You know, you could drive around. You could walk around. You know, there's plazas, and it's pretty nice. So I like the suburbs. The rural stuff, I can't live with, like, dirty, smelly animals. I can't live in a place where you can't, like, you don't have a ton of different food options. And, you know, there's not, like, another person for, like, 100 miles. And I just can't. It's, like, completely dark and these, like, country roads and... It's just not for me. Can't do it. I am not a farmer. I'm not Farmer Brown. Rachel says, thank you for blessing my Kiwi eyes and ears on the regular. God bless you. You're welcome in my inferior country anytime. Well, thanks, but don't say that about your country. You should love your country. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll go to... The problem with like New Zealand and Australia is like, what are they, like 20 hours away by plane? I don't want to be on a plane for a day. So that's the only thing stopping me. Maybe if if I ever made it out that far, I would have to go and I would have to be traveling for like a long time. I would have to like, maybe I'd travel first to, you know, Europe and then from Europe to like, I don't know, the Middle East and the Middle East to Asia and Asia. Because I can't be on a plane for 20 hours. I would lose my mind. Big Olive Oil says the highlight of the year was the Groiper Wars, but my personal highlight was when you and Patrick Casey chased down Charlie Kirk through the woods, and you got covered in poison ivy. Another Sopranos reference. Thanks. Dank Dragon says, red pill your friends with the Talmud on Safaria. Yeah. Inner City Democrats says, if it were still the Cold War, boomers would be like, communism isn't the problem. It's Britain you should be worried about. Cernovich's tweet responses, ... Yeah, some pretty cringe stuff in there. Really, these are really compelling. These are really, wow, great chats here. Nicker says his middle name is James. Whose middle name? Who are you talking about? Wario says, second super chat, Nick, pretty recent watcher. I would like to say you have inspired me to reapply to AIM. Do you think there is a peaceful solution to illegal immigration? Okay, so you're a Fed. Hashtag no e-girls. Wow, total Fed alert. Hey, Nick, pretty recent viewer, hashtag no e-girls, am I right? I was going to reapply to AIM. Anyway, do you think there's a peaceful solution to illegal immigration? What are you implying there, Fed? Yeah, well, talk about a Fed. That's a Fed if I ever saw one. Inner City Democrats, Fed, Super Chat, LMAO, cringe. Yeah, exactly. Polish American says, Ricer Honda Civic sales will surge through New York and New Jersey. P.S. You look very handsome today. Well, thanks. What is Ricer? What does that mean? Oh, that's what that is. A Ricer Civic. That's kind of funny. Billy Mays, and then thanks, by the way. Billy Mays says, hey, Nick, sorry I'm late. Was taking a Mondo Duke. Okay, thanks. Mr. Anonymous says, why are white people scared of becoming a minority in 2040? Are minorities treated badly or something? I pray white people be treated how we treat minorities now. We just don't want South Africa, too. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. Shyster says, hey, just a quick thank you to people like you and Vince for bringing me back to the church. Had my first confession in years last week. Good to be back. Well, hey, that's great to hear it, man. Anon says, the femoid question strikes once again. Cat boys now? We're going to hold off on that a little bit. Yeet says, total power move coming out with the Robbie Rotten fade the same week you said you don't use hair products due to superior med genetics. What is Robbie Rotten is that guy from, what, Lazy Town? I see. Yeah, I told you, I get out of the shower, and normally I just towel dry my hair and comb it, and I just kind of, there's like a half hour period where, like, I towel dry it slightly, and then it, you know, I just let it sit, and I just sort of fix it up a little bit while it dries. But sometimes if I don't, like, comb it right away, then it'll dry in, like, a wavy, like, curly way. It's not exactly, like, curly per se, but it is kind of wavy. So it'll dry in a weird way where I do need a haircut. And so then I have to wet it, and then I have to dry it really quickly, so I have to blow dry it. And then when I blow dry it, it's too tall or it's too, like, flat. You know what I mean? So it just creates a host of problems. It's really like I have to take a shower, and if I don't comb it the right way right away, it's just a disaster. It's just like game over, mission failed, get them next time. You can't win after that. Julie Smith says, hi, Nick. I was the groiper in the video Corey sent today. I love your show. Keep Texas red. I don't know what video you're talking about, but thanks. Blitzkrieg says, how do you rid yourself of degenerates? What does that mean? But what does that mean? Rid yourself in what? What does that even mean? How do you rid yourself of degenerates? What do you mean? Like degenerate friends? Degenerate habits? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? For $3, probably the most vague super chats. Cringe and Blue Pill says, what did you think about Labor's For the Many, Not the Jew campaign from earlier this year? I didn't see it. I don't live in England. Bob Sacamano says, can you wish my friend Kai a happy birthday? what is that phonetic or is that a real name? Yeah, happy birthday. Potsticker says, Normie, Merry Christmas to my FBI agent, Groiper. Happy Hanukkah to my Mossad agent. Okay, yeah, that's hilarious, bro. Oh my God, I'm wheezing right now. What is even the point? What is even the point of something like that? Why would you even write that and post that? Do you think? Like, I just don't. It's hard for me to get in the mindset of somebody that posts cringe. Do they think like this will elicit laughter? Do they think this is clever? Do they think like, Normie, Merry Christmas to my FBI agent? What is that even? Is that like an NSA joke? Happy Hanukkah to my Mossad agent. Oh, but it's Israel though. But meme, but it's Jewish though. I mean, like. Oh, I am the only content creator that should exist. It's just me. Nobody else should be able to post. Let's see. Dot, dot, dot says, Nick, thanks for the show. Your many sons can take my daughters, even though you're Catholic. We're Mennonite. The 12 girls I'm prepared to have will be cooking, sewing, and not graduating the 10th grade. Scandinavian stock, too. Well, then I'm afraid it's not going to work. They need to be Italian. Italian wife, Italian sons, Italian daughter-in-laws, and they're all going to be named Maria, okay? So thanks. Thanks for the offer. Hey, it sounds like you got a great thing going on. We should want, you know, probably Scandinavian, right? Sounds very nice, but Mennonite Scandinavians, I think we'd do a little better. How about Catholic Italians? But it's very nice. I mean, hey, it's always, I'll always keep that in mind. If the Italian thing doesn't work out. Anon says, black-pilled yet again, glorp, why though? Yeah. Brandon says, tons of love, you stud. No wonder that there are people arguing for overpopulation. Earth is built for homeostasis, but there's no chance when you introduce massive amounts of foreign species. Okay, homeostasis. I don't know what homeostasis has to do with foreign species. What are these super chats talking about? I don't understand. No wonder that there are people arguing for overpopulation. People are arguing in favor of overpopulation. Who is arguing in favor of overpopulation? I'm just so confused. Am I just like going insane? Am I having a stroke? Is it shocking? People are like, oh, his mind is really going. He must have dementia. Because I feel like I just don't understand half of these. It's like, his middle name is Jim. Whose middle name? You know? People are like, oh, that video that was sent to you. What video? What video? I don't know what you're talking about. And then this guy, thoughts on neocolonialism, how to rid yourself of degenerates. What do any of these things even mean? These are all just like sentence fragments, or it's just like just lacking context. Another wishful zoomer, finally a friend of the show, says, congrats on making Times Person of the Year, big guy. It was an amazing year for America First conservatism. Tremendous accomplishments and a lot of exposure. 2020's here we come. Yes, well, thanks. Thanks, and thanks for making that time edit pretty cool. Yeah, it was a good year. And 2020s are going to be a great decade for us, I have to say. I'm very optimistic for us about the 2020s. Roy says, Nick, love the show. Did you hear how Prager was deleting huge dislike ratio and comments getting woke to Zionist influence on the recent Israel video? No, I did not hear about that at all. I'll have to check that out. I'll search that up so I remember it after the show. But no, I didn't see that. Bane Without Mask says, it's my birthday today. Only got a birthday message from mom, dad, and my grandma. Never forget, Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. Love you, Nick. Stay safe. Well, happy birthday, big guy. That's terrible. To me, the saddest thing in the world is sad birthdays. No joke. I think about, like, tragic things, and to me, like, a tragedy is less resonant with me than, like, a sad birthday. It's less, for some reason, it's more visceral to me to see a photograph of, like, somebody, like, you know, the sad birthday pictures where they're, like, all alone, and they got, like, some sad little cake with a single candle and some dingy house and, like, you know, dad's in the background on the couch, or, you know, grandma's lighting the candles or something. That's not to say that you don't love your family. It's great to celebrate your birthday with family, but, or the ones with kids where it's, like, nobody showed up to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. That, to me, hits me closer, it hits closer to home to me to see that than, like, to see, you know, pictures like the Third World or, like, some Turkish kid or some Syrian kid washing up on the shore or something, or gas attacks. Like, if the government really wanted to do false flags or something, they should utilize sad birthdays, you know? It's like, gas attack in Syria, oh, like, whatever. Sad birthday, where can I, you know, give money? Where can I do a GoFundMe, you know? I'll vote for anything. Vladimir Putin is behind sad birthdays. Do we have to go get him? The Islamic Republic of Iran hacked your email and made sure all the Evites to your kid's birthday party didn't go out. That's why nobody showed up. We have to go to war. The Iranian people are fine, but this regime has got to go. You know, that's, I think, maybe how they should guilt trip us. Because that to me is like the one thing where I'm like, something must be done about this. We must take action. So, hey, happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. That's okay. Living Stranger says, excellent show, Nick. What are the Irish considered? Are they lumped in with the Anglos, the Meds, or are they their own thing? Ave Maria. Some Irish are Anglo and some Irish are Meds. Irish literally are Meds. Celts are Meds. So I think, like, Welsh, Irish are a Med. And that's, like, Black Irish is the phenomenon. It's like, you know, Irish, like, really dark features, like dark hair and dark eyes because they're from, like, Spain, you know? So I think my grandmother, my Irish grandmother, told me that her, like, I don't know if it was her great-grandmother or something, but was, like, totally, like, blonde hair, like, blue-eyed. I think on the Mexican side, I forget all the details, but basically it's a lot of Mediterranean, like, there's a lot of Mediterranean phenotype and Mediterranean genetics from the Irish. That's what I hear. I'm not like a geneticist, but I have heard, and I've heard from like Madison Grant that I think he classified Ireland, not Northern Ireland, but the rest of Ireland is like somewhat Anglo, also somewhat Med. JD says, is Trump ineffectual or is Israel just unbeatable? I think Trump is ineffectual. Anand says, potato glorp be like BDS laws, but not a wall. Yeah. King Schlag says, Zionists and evangelicals run our party. Shouldn't we drive a wedge between them by asking Christian leaders in the White House if Jared Kushner are going to, if Jared and Yael Kushner, I don't know who Yael is, if that's a typo or something, are going to hell for denying Christ, we can gain in the evangelical voters. I think there's a more tactful way to go about it than, you know, oh, Ivanka. Oh, her really? Her name's Yael Kushner? Damn, I didn't know that. That's disturbing. I didn't even know that. I guess Yael is what? Is that a Jewish name or something? Damn, I didn't even know that. Wow. Wow, that's freaky. But yeah, I mean, we definitely should drive a wedge between evangelicals and Zionists, but the, I mean, these spurgy sort of, we need to drive a wedge, so should we, like, go up to them and say, is Jared Kushner going to hell? Like, where do you think that's going to go? Blitzkrieg says, Nick, enough with the black pills. It's depressing. Oh, grow up. Raphael says, what's the surname on your Italian side of the family? Oh, hello, docs department. You're related to Roman nobility? Because that would explain a lot. You on some Caesar shit, bro? I'm not going to... Hey, what's your mother's maiden name? And also, what's your first pet's name? And also, what's your favorite elementary school teacher's name? And what's your social? And what's your... I'm not about to dox the family, but some pretty epic names on the Italian side, I'll say. Jewel says, New York DUIs skyrocket. Yeah, no joke, dude. They're a big problem in Chicago. Dead Man Walking says, I didn't get any perks. Getting one. Oh, I'm white. Getting one what? Getting one license? I didn't get any perks getting one. Oh, I'm white. Okay, again with the schizoid posts. I'm being gang stalked. I'm being gang stalked. Nobody believed me. I was watching a documentary about gang stalking today. I went on X and, I went on X because I saw this article on the Examiner about aliens. And I was like, I wonder if there's anything in X about aliens. Because they were talking about how the DOD does these reports about how UFOs are flying around like aircraft carriers and nuclear Air Force bases and nuclear submarines, and that they're disabling our nuclear like system. UFOs are, and they're shown to be controlled by perhaps some kind of intelligent life or something. Anyway, I was reading an article about UFOs. I went on X, naturally, to see if there was anything new. What's the scoop on the UFOs? What's the scoop on Project Blue Beam? When's it going to happen? What is it called? Exposure? What do they call it? The day when the aliens reveal themselves? Disclosure. Is disclosure imminent? You know, so I went on X, and I found a thread about gang stalking, and I always had heard that. And I was vaguely familiar, and then I was like, what is gang stalking? And I was watching a couple of documentaries and reading about it. And it's happening to me now. I'm being gang stalked. I'm being gang stalked by super chatters. I'm driving on the highway and super chatters are boxing me in. I'm walking down the street and super chatters are whispering things in my ear. I was walking down the street the other day with Lolly Socks. And a super chatter bumped into me and said, no one will believe you. A bunch of people kept bumping into me and whispering in my ear, no one will ever believe you. And I was like, did you just see that? Did you just see that? And he was like, no, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And it's driving me mad. It's driving me crazy. Let's see. Bronzo says, I am a targeted individual. I'm a targeted individual. That's probably an essence. Probably not a lot of people are going to understand this, but if you do, it's very funny. Bronzo says, hordes of Australians are flying into Mexico and walking across the border. Yeah, I wish that were happening. I wish South Africans and Australians, maybe some other, you know, groups were coming right across the border. Sulfuric says, stop being blackpilled. Christ is risen. I'm not blackpilled. ASDF says, think of how much a line cook could make if wages weren't suppressed by illegals. It would at least be something for having their factory jobs outsourced. You're right. Across the board, you would see wages go up. Billy Mays says, sounds LARPy, but thoughts on gathering militias. Okay, I'm just going to stop you right there. That's Fed talk. Let's see. Chase says, illegal immigrants should not have driver's licenses, and neither should women. Yeah, agree. Penn State says poopity scoop, scoopity whoop. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Scroll down too far. Where were we? Okay, here we are. Marissa says, haven't super chatted in a while due to second child keeping us busy, but we're still fans of the show. Keep doing what you're doing, and God bless. Well, hey, thanks a lot. Good luck with the kids. That's awesome. Anon says, the virgin citizen financing the Chad illegals. Okay, great. Super Mega says, New York City, we must add congestion fees to decrease traffic. Also, New York City, bienvenidos, mis amigos. I'll probably have to watch America First in my car sitting in traffic soon. Only D.C. is a bigger shithole. I don't know, L.A. is kind of a shithole, too, and San Francisco. So, but yeah, New York City was just like, I was there the other couple weeks ago for the Milo thing, and like, oh my gosh, there's just like garbage everywhere, and the traffic is insane. I thought the traffic was only bad in L.A., but it was insane going into like Manhattan, and yeah, not a fan. Danil says, why won't you accept dinosaurs? Facts existed. I told you, I accepted Behemoth was real. Inclusion says, and so are dragons. Men, you don't need a girlfriend. Make yourself a good future husband and start a hobby. Suggestion, collect fountain pens. They're the best. Haha, funny. Pretentious says, what's your official view on fountain pens, King? I think it's so, oh my God, that's so funny. Inclusion, or I just read that. Polish American says, oh, so you're wearing that? Works with brutal efficacy. Brought a thought to tears. I love that one. Oh, you know, she just gets ready. Okay, are we ready to go? The best is if they're all, like, excited. That, you know, because sometimes you're like, yeah, all right, you know, we're going to go out. But the best is if she's all excited, ready to go. Okay, you ready to go? I'm so hungry. I can't wait to get sushi, you know. Oh, great. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to leave in just a few minutes. Just got to get my shoes on. But, so you're wearing that? Yeah. What's wrong with it? That is just like a kill shot. That is a Scott Adams linguistic kill shot. Oh, yeah, sure, babe. Just got to get my shoes on. Let me just get my coat. Are you wearing that, though? Hey, but, you're wearing that? Oh, okay, yeah, that looks fine. No, nothing. It's fine. No, it looks, you look great. It looks great. Let's go. Let's get in the car. That's, to me, it is so funny. And because to me, there's not even a purpose for it other than, you know, just being mean. Just because it is hilarious, you know. That is just funny to me. And honestly, though, this is the red pill, is that women like to be bullied. Has nobody ever realized that? It's like the simplest, easiest trick in the book. But that is just what I've learned from, and I don't have a ton of experience, but I can just tell you that bullying women works. Now, it doesn't mean like bullying, like, you know, pushing them down a flight of stairs, like punching them. I mean, not like that, but I mean, but just sort of like busting their chops, even if you are just like making fun of them or embarrassing them within reason, for some reason, they do love that. For some reason, they are just like attracted to that. And everyone knows that. And everyone, if you've like literally ever been in a social situation, they just like that. Okay. They like to be just sort of like, I don't know, challenged or sort of like provoked. I just find that is, you know, a lot of men come up with this expectation that women want you to be like really sweet and really like, hi, you're amazing. I'm so lucky to have you. I think that makes women like run. I think that I think with almost anybody, it's just like, what's wrong with you, you know? So people like maybe I'm just a natural antagonizer and ball buster, but at least I find that is what, you know, people like. Let's see. It's, you know, sort of play. It is a little bit playful, but it also is funny when you push a little bit too far. And you just, it's funny when you make people cry. Oh, she's wearing that, you know. Sometimes you got to set them up to knock them down. Or knock them down to set them back up, right? Let's see. Nicholas says, Zionist West versus Islamic World, World War III, Armageddon. Okay. Nicholas says, I'm just not on the Trump train like before. Yeah, relating. Glenn says, ever got any traffic tickets, son? How many? If yes, never got a traffic ticket. Never been pulled over. I got pulled over one time, but it wasn't my fault. So I never got pulled over, never got a ticket, never, you know, traffic violation, anything like that. I got a parking ticket once, but it was bullshit. I also got an administrative ticket one time because I like turned right on red and like you weren't supposed to do that, or I came to a rolling stop, I think is what it was. I came to a rolling stop at a red light and turned right. So it's, you know, gay shit like that. Like the parking ticket I got, it was like my, what is it? The front of my car was like a little bit over the sidewalk. It was like obstructing the sidewalk. And it was BS. It was like a parking lot. So I got a $50 ticket for that. And like I said, I got the rolling stop thing. And I got pulled over one time. It took an illegal U-turn. But my GPS told me to take it. I told the guy, I'm like, look, GPS told me to take the U-turn. It's Apple Maps. Usually I use Google Maps. Wasn't my fault. So, no, I'm a very good driver. I'm a very competent driver. I'm just very good, you know, and it's a very, it's something to keep in mind that I'm a good driver. I've never gotten in an accident, and if I do, you should start asking questions. AmeriChad says, notice how minorities abuse and overextend any kind of authority or power given to them. Now picture that for every 10 immigrants Texas got last year, 9 of them were Mexican. R.I.P. Davy Crockett, he knew, yeah. Delta says the society we all love and miss was created by the Catholics from Europe, and the WASP deep state decimated the entire Catholic edifice in the 1960s. I don't know. I feel like that's a bit of a reach. You know, I've heard this from like E. Michael Jones types, and I feel like that's a little bit of a reach. I Love Israel says America first. Do rag when? Probably not going to happen. Punished Huey says, Nick, I trust the plan. Give me dopamine by saying based. Okay. Polish American says, in a bomber, you get the most flack when you're over the target. It's exactly, that's a great analogy. I like that a lot. Toki says, been watching for 2 full months now and still don't get what a Wignat is. I know it stands for Wigger Nationalist, but that doesn't help at all. Again, it's one of these things where if you don't get it, you're just not going to get it. It's like, you know... It's sort of like it's sort of hard to explain because it's a little bit, I mean, it's a little bit like politically incorrect. It's sort of like in the same way that like, you know, black people are politically, like Wignads are in the sense that they just sort of like lack like political agency. They don't really understand what is required to like build a political movement. They're very much, I don't know, it's sort of hard to explain, you know, the origins of it, but. Maybe ask me on DLive. I'll be able to explain it a little better. Spencer says, hey, bro, let's meet up. Bro, want to meet up? Okay, Fed. Okay. Pandemonium says, do you think when the boomers die off, so will Ben Shaquiro's fans? Or are there enough brain-dead millennials as well to fund the gravy train? It's Xers and millennials, it's unfortunately, with Shapiro. Boomers like him, but it's also a lot of Gen X and millennials. But the Zoomers and Alpha belong to us. Generation Z, Generation Alpha belongs to us. Belongs to Tucker, belongs to America First. Polish American says even better was a Whole Foods. I don't know what that means. Chris says, is compatibilism consistent with free will doctrine? I don't know what that is. Danil says, thoughts on dinosaurs? Kill Panda says, what's the deal with all these immigrants? Sublin says, go outside and get some fresh air. Looks outside and sees used syringes on the ground and groups of urban youth playing rap music out of the phones they stole. Yeah, accurate. Go play outside. Go get some fresh air. It's like the only people that were hanging out at the park and getting fresh air were like, you know the type. The only people that are ever just hanging out outside at the park are people that can't hang out at home. You know, the only people that are hanging out at the park every day, you know, around 7-Eleven, around the convenience store are, you know the type. And it's not kids playing ball. It's not the Sandlot. It's not kids, you know, hitting the ball, throwing around the old pigskin. That's not what's going on. It's not kids, you know, running around and doing jump rope and girls in dresses. That's not quite. That is not quite who's loitering around the park every day outside, you know, roaming the neighborhood. You know, who do you think? Who do you think it is? Priority One says, Kanye also bought a huge ranch in Wyoming, okay? Anti-Root Trooper says, I finally watched the end of Evangelion, and I will never forget what I just saw. Also, Tucker took the words out of my mouth on David French, that dork. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, end of Evangelion, pretty good stuff. Slappy says, video games and Wi-Fi radiation lower T levels. Get your ass to Mars. To Mars, okay? Bob says, the super chats tonight, LMFAO. Yeah, it's hilarious. Brad says, I live near Peoria. How can I listen to you speak IRL? Well, when I do an event IRL, well, you'll simply go to one of those. ASDF says, JLP again decry dating e-girls, telling the amazing Lucas not to get a girlfriend from YouTube. Amazing. That's good to hear. Bandit says, these super chats are giving me a headache. Yep. Polish says, Nick, don't say OMG. It's a mortal sin. Okay. AmeriChat says, which two historical figures do you hate the most? Two historical figures I hate the most? Probably. I don't know. It's a tough one. Least favorite. Sort of drawing a blank. Martin Luther, and maybe, I don't know who would be next after that. Martin Luther, and then maybe, who would be second? Who else is no good? I'm trying to think, but I'm drawing a blank on, like, who I don't like. I think there's a lot of people that I like, but who do I dislike? Martin Luther is probably terrible, and, I don't know who else. I want to say, like, somebody from the Enlightenment, but, I mean, there's some interesting stuff in there, interesting to read, at least. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on who the second one would be. Leo says, who is easier to convert, a better ally, someone who is based in blue-pilled or cringing red-pilled? Merry Christmas. Thanks for the big super chat. Someone who's based in blue-pilled or cringing red-pilled? Definitely someone that's based in blue-pilled. We don't want to be cringe. Cringe is toxic. But Merry Christmas. Billy Mace says, what I meant in my last super chat was, if government can't do anything, shouldn't we? Okay, so this is the kind of talk that I'm... Well, what you talk about militias, I say, okay, never mind, that's a Fed super chat. And you're like, well, what I meant is, if the government won't do anything, we must act. It's like, okay, that's literally what Feds say. That is literally... So if you didn't get it before, now do you understand? What do you mean by that? Oh, let's see. Harris says, shout out to Folk Salad Nation. Yep. Treader says, the super chats are a psyop to mind break you. Yeah, it's happening. It is a some kind of psyop against me. Smiley says, here, have some Korean money. Well, thanks a lot. I don't know how much that is, but thanks for it. Sond says, any book recommendations? No, don't read books. Stupid millennial, read the Bible. Millennial says, I didn't heed your advice and tried an e-girl. I still feel it when I pee. Listen to Nick's advice, kids. I don't know what that means. Amir says, I think the body of work produced by Destiny's Child is a lot better than the work of Beyonce's solo career. Don't call me crazy because I have asked a lot of people and many agree with me. Thoughts? I don't listen to either of them. Polish American says, happy birthday, King. Groypers are your second family. Blair White says, my 30th in January is going to be a sad birthday. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, okay? It's not your birthday yet. Spencer says, it seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV. Where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely? Lucky we've got Nick Fuentes live. Yeah, lucky for us. Hey, big guy says, totally relate to that sad birthday super chat. Happy birthday, big guy. Ham Side says, you ever think about how globalists and money movers operate at such a high level of resources and money that this movement will never truly be able to incur any real changes in America? Feels bad, man. Okay, stop being a black-pilled loser, dude. Everything was never gonna win and I feel bad. Okay, dude, then just, you know what I'm gonna say, if it's so bad for you. Mothbutt says, potato people vindicated. Joseph says, Father Wade Menezes would be a good guest if he'll do it. Oh, well, that'd be cool if I had guests on the show. Mister says, here's some money simply for being a based superior med. Ah, thank you for the tribute. Repent says, hey, King, get you a good Swiss cheese. Okay. ASDF says, just read that Ariana Grande left the Catholic Church because they didn't accept her brothers being gay, and now they practice Kabbalah. LMAO says it all. Yep, read into the Kabbalah. It's very interesting. AmeriChads is another Mushroom Burger super chat. Just kill me, yeah. And me too while you're at it. Professor Eric says, Mushroom and Swiss super chat? OMG, ha ha ha. Yeah, right? Derpy says, what did Nick Mullen do for you to call him a simp? It was that whole, I think it was the Colpi situation. Somebody shared a screenshot where he was, like, going off at everybody attacking that girl that was... What happened? She, like, dated a black guy, and then he was cheating on her with traps or something. I think it was that, or it might have been a different one. In any case, he was, like, defending some e-girl. He was simping, And I saw that. And it was just very, like, a very disappointing moment. It was like him and Christian O'Brien were talking about something. It was the most pathetic thing I ever saw in my life. Lost a lot of respect. Warrior Mario says, I gave you $10, Nick, and you call me a fed? Yes. Peanut, but thanks for the $10. Peanuts says, establish dominance. Yeah, it's very important. Anarcho Architect says, APAC posted $500 million to Israel missile defense. Okay. Anonymous Tipper says, you know me, be honest. Am I a cringe super chatter? I don't really know. ASDF says, you have to balance being strict and a tease with being sweet. You just got to figure it out, TBH. Abundant affection with the right girl at the right time. I would say it's a very sort of like, it's a balance. It has to be sort of subtle. I agree. It's maybe it just comes naturally to me because I know that I'm going to say like, oh, bully women and people are just like totally going to spurg out and, you know, just be obnoxious and just... What I'm saying, there is sort of like, there's sort of an art to it, I guess you could say. It's like, it's sort of a subtle and a nuanced thing. It's hard to explain, but I mean, that is a big part of it. It's just, on a certain level, I mean, obviously we respect women, but on a certain level, there has to be like a little bit of disrespect as well in there. That's just what I'm going to say. Forbid says, hey, big guy, do you think the Tower of Babel is the Bible's lesson for immigration and overpopulation? Keep up the good work. I think applying it there is a bit of a stretch, but I mean, yeah, I mean, the gist of it is right. Mushroom Monarch says, I live in Cali, and even the cops here do the rolling Cali stop. Stop signs are Israeli trick to make you waste more gas. Yeah, I agree. Why do you need to come to a complete stop? You don't need to come to a complete stop to see. If you're very vigilant like I am, you can very quickly, you know, look both ways and proceed, but to come to a complete stop, and especially in the suburbs, it's like stop sign after stop sign, and red lights too. Sometimes there's like the sensor doesn't work, and so you have to sit through like a whole cycle. It's like it's 4 a.m. It's like, you know when that happens, when it's like 3 a.m. on a weekday, and you're like, it's 3 a.m. I'm trying to get to White Castle. There's nobody even here. I'm just gonna blow through this red light. You know when that happens to you? When it's in the dead of night, 3 a.m., nobody around, and then the sensor doesn't pick you up and has to cycle through a full thing. Step too far says, no one will believe you, yeah. Polish American says, John Doyle was in Whole Foods. Oh, okay. Bill says, watch gay BDSM if you want the real red pill. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. But that's an old one. Somebody put that in here like many months ago, I remember. That old joke. Blitzkrieg says, what books would you recommend to those new to the scene? Thanks. I would recommend the Bible. Priority One says, was it you that brought up Martin Luther's On the J and Their Lies thesis on another episode? I don't think so. Harold Flight says, forget about the stereotypes, but watermelon is one of the best high tea foods our boys can get on. You'll fit right in at your next cookout. I don't eat watermelon. I don't eat any melon. I don't really like melon. I don't like cantaloupe. I don't like, what is it, honeydew or whatever, the green one. Isn't that what it is? Yeah, ew. Honeydew, cantaloupe, watermelon. I don't like the consistency, you know, the texture. I don't like the taste. It's like not sweet at all. I just don't like it. I like grapes. I like apples. I like strawberries, blueberries, bananas, that kind of thing. But you really lose me when it comes to melon. Not a melon guy. Would never, yeah, you will miss me with the cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon situation. I'm going to take a pass. Plum is a good one. Pear. Anyway, Nicker says, your middle name is James. It's not. Big Drip says, always white pill. Family will keep you strong, yeah. ASDF says, yeah, I said that because I see people spurg like that. Yep. Steve says, everyone knows the J stands for Jingleheimer. Yeah, you got that. Ham Side says, to my last super chat, that's what my BF says a lot, so I figured I'd ask. He doesn't trust the plan, but also he isn't a Christian, so he doesn't trust any plan, to be honest. What was your last super chat? You can't put a super chat in like 20 minutes ago and then be like, oh, in regards to the other one about, okay. That your BF is blackpilled. Gotcha. Woe is me says, hey, big guy, what do you think the odds are of Kanye releasing Jesus is Born by Christmas? I highly doubt that. It's, you know, how many deadlines has he blown through in the last year? You know, Yanni was supposed to come out September 27th last year, and then it was Black Friday, and then it was in September 29th last year, September 27th this year for Jesus is King, and then it was the Sunday, and then it was the next month, and then it was the next week, you know, so I doubt it'll be on time. Let's see. Michael says his middle name is actually John. It's not that. Angel of Wrath says, just finished Dracula. Good read. Christian vampire hunters exterminate Satan's spawn. The protagonist is a Protestant, but the themes in the book are Catholic. Okay. Anonymous Tipper says, when are you going to draw the Groiper on stream? Probably never. Corkboard says, America was founded for self-governance, but don't use the government to protect your interests. That's big government. Yeah, that's pretty funny. And our last super chat is Yeet Skeeterson, who says, Nick doesn't like big old juicy melons. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, well, that's our last super chat. That's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember to sign up for the email list. Very important, NicholasJFuentes.com. Sign up for the email list. It's right there on the webpage. Type it in. If I go off of YouTube, it's the only way I can get in touch with you and tell you where my content's going to be. So be sure to sign up for that. Remember to check out my Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell so you're notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Really bang-up job. You really did it tonight. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. And I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.